Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Sammy. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a tremendous praise. I said a tremendous praise. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One of the things I always tell people, if you use your faith in worship and you use your faith in the praise and the worship, God will do for you in worship what you're waiting for someone to do for you in prayer. Some of us, I'm waiting for somebody to pray for me. But if we learn to use that same faith in your worship, God will do for you in your worship what you're waiting for someone else to do for you for prayer. Because who is that person going to in prayer? To God. So I can bring my own self in worship to God and receive what I need from him directly. But if I don't have the faith, I can have somebody else pray for me. That's okay. But if you use your faith in worship and in praise, you can see the salvation of the Lord personally, directly. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody believe they received anything from the Lord? I just feel like there's a breaking right now. There's a breaking up of some grounds. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say, Lord, you are good all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. We were in our series called Good Money. Come on. Somebody say provision. Abundance. Favor. Come on. These are all the things you're going to experience if you continue to hear this word in faith. I'm telling you. Some of you might also go through testing. Let me tell you something. There's always two sides of blessing, right? I put on my Facebook, if you ask for rain, prepare for the mud too, right? Right, blessing season is messy. You're going to see favor, and then you might see the opposite. And you're like, what's going on, Lord? I'm declaring finances. I'm declaring provision. I'm declaring prosperity. And it's like, why am I not seeing it? You see, you're always going to either be in one of those things where you're going to be tested on your faithfulness in the season when it looks like what you've been praying for isn't coming through. And your attitude and your motive, your composure through it all will actually determine to God whether or not you really are ready for it. You hear me? That's why it's so important that when someone gets a financial breakthrough and you didn't get one yet, you got to learn to celebrate with them. Come on. I mean, celebrate like you got it. Like you got it. I'll say, your next breakthrough is always built upon your gratefulness to the last one. So you learn how to grow from faith to faith, oftentimes by knowing what the Lord has done for you and what he's doing for others. Amen. The word of our testimony, we overcome the devil by. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk to you about, we're continuing again in our Good Money series, and we're going to go now to a little bit more practical stuff. And I wanted to talk to you today about what I believe is one of the most important financial principles we find in the scripture. One of the most important principles. It's also the most controversial. And I've learned from experience that it's the revelation or the teachings in the word that carries the most controversy around it. It usually carries a great blessing right behind it. Because the devil wants to muddy the waters around certain revelation and truth. It's like if you teach about grace, Somebody else will come and say, don't talk about grace too much, because people will sin if you talk about God's free gift of grace, right? If you talk about certain things, don't talk about that, because you don't want to be, it's always some type of controversy around certain truths. Prosperity, you talk about prosperity, people will tell you, oh, he's talking about money, he's greedy, he's money hungry, right? But we go 5 days throughout the week working for money, but then people get mad if the preacher talks about money. You spend your whole time working for it. You should want wisdom on what the Lord says about it. Come on. So we need to understand that the enemy will always try to send controversy around very important matters. And this principle that we're going to talk about today is, like I said, one of the easiest ways to accelerate your financial life. Now, we're talking about kingdom principles. Everybody say kingdom. We're talking about heavenly principles. And one of the things that I love about the kingdom, Jesus Christ himself said, the kingdom operates in such a way that even children can work it. That children can enter into the kingdom. Amen? Children, if any message you hear is so complicated and complex that not even a child can understand it, then you're not really hearing the fullness of that message. Because the true kingdom message, the Bible says, Jesus said, even a child can enter in. Even a child can use these kingdom principles. And one of those principles that we're going to talk about carries an open heaven guarantee. That if you use this principle, God himself guarantees that heaven will remain open over your life. Now, what does that mean when heaven is open? That means there is favor between you and God and man, people. People will just like you and want to bless you because heaven is open over your life. When heaven is open, you have access to God, his provision, his resources. You have access to wisdom, strategy for life, vision, creativity. The Bible says that he's the father of lights. Everything that's good that comes into this earth comes from God. And when you are under that open heaven, everything that's good that's flowing from heaven to earth, you are standing in the way of it. That means you're going to get access to it. Amen? Somebody say access. How many people want to ensure access to heaven over their lives? Hallelujah. Let's look at the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to be quick because we're a little bit into the time already. Malachi chapter 3. Glory to your name, Jesus. Now, I always tell you, your intentions, when someone teaches, when a preacher preaches, even if you're in school and a professor is teaching, your intent determines how much you receive from the teaching. So, for example, have you ever had a teacher you didn't like? So every time they said anything, you just didn't, all the kids put their hands up. Every time they said something, you just tuned them off. So you couldn't even really learn anything from them because you just didn't like the teacher. That's why the Bible says, for example, if you learn to receive a child in my name, or no, if you receive a prophet in a prophet's name, you should receive a prophet's reward, or a righteous man in a righteous man's name, you receive a righteous man's reward. What that means is if you learn to receive a person that the Lord sends and your heart is receptive to what they have to say, then you can receive that reward that that person is carrying. You can receive that blessing that God has released to that person to give to you. But if you say, well, they say he's a prophet, but I don't really care for him too much. Or they say he can heal people when he prays, but I don't believe in that anyway. Then more than likely, you're not going to get the reward that is on the other side of your faith. And so it's so important that you open up and learn to receive a word that comes, even if you may not understand or are willing to open. I don't know why I'm saying that, but just open up your heart and get ready to receive. Amen? Now, Malachi 3 tells us, verse 10, bring ye all the, what? tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Somebody say, prove me. Now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, the Bible talks about many different ways to give in Scripture. You have the giving of alms, or giving to the poor. The Bible talks about giving to orphans and giving to mission work. The Bible talks about sowing and reaping as another principle, that what you sow, you shall reap, right? But there is only one financial principle in the Scriptures, the entire Bible, that God himself attached a challenge on it, or a test. That God said, test me or prove me on this thing. It's the only thing. It's not on sowing and reaping. It's not on giving to the poor. The only place where God said, tells his people to test me on this, challenge me on this, is in the principle of tithing. Now, once again, that should speak volumes to us that if God will, I mean, this is the same God who said, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. But yet, in this point, he says, test me on it. Now, even if you didn't believe in the principle of tithing, why did the Lord attach a test to it? Right? In all the Bible. So there is something powerful about the principle of tithing. And what I love about this principle is the fact that God is not asking us to do something we can't do, because tithing is always based on something that we actually have and what we actually can do, right? For example, the word tithe translated just simply means tenth. Tenth, or 10%. And so for most of us who know this, the principle of tithing means that from the increase or of our incomes, the Lord says, I want you to give 10% of that towards the work of ministry, towards a righteous cause. And if you give this 10%, the Lord says, I will open up the windows of heaven. Now, how much is 10% of $10? It's $1. How much is 10% of 10 cents? 1 cent, right? A penny. The Lord says, there is this practice that I want you to learn to adapt into your life. If you're serious about seeing your financial life experience prosperity and abundance, I want you to begin to operate the system called tithing. Now, I know there's some of us in here who already tithe, and there's some of us who don't tithe, or don't even understand what it means. And there's some of us who used to tithe, but then we probably went into a state where we backslid from that decision. Or maybe you guys got into some experiences where someone mishandled money, and you say, you know, I don't trust anybody to give this work, to give this tithe. But I want to challenge you today in this message. I'm going to show you exactly what is a tithe, why do we tithe, and how you're supposed to actually tithe, all right? Now, let's look at Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, real fast. Leviticus 27, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 27. The Bible says in the King James Version, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So the practical thing, or the first thing you want to understand about tithing in Scriptures, is that the Bible says all the tithe, the 10% of the land, of the seed of the land, the fruit of the tree, it belongs to the Lord's. Now, what that means is when you reap for what you work for, the Bible declares that out of what you receive, 10% of that belongs to God already. It belongs to him. And the Bible says it is holy. It is set apart for God. Okay? So tithing is a very practical way for us to keep God first. We're giving him the tenth. We're giving him the lump sum. Not the lump sum, but the 10% of what we've worked for. And we give it back to the Lord. I want you to look at also Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. I'm going to give you some basic stuff, and I'm going to give you some revelation. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Look at verse 22. All right? So the Bible says the 10% that you work for belongs to God. I believe that even when we get into the new covenant, it's not just 10, it's everything, right? Everything we have belongs to him. But all he asked for is 10. Now watch this. Verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Verse 23. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses. Now stop. They said year by year. But we under the new covenant, we gather weekly. They used to come to the temple yearly, right? For one big giving, one year feasting and all this stuff. They would give year to year. But we gather weekly, right? So every week we gather, or as often as we work and we earn increase from our work and our labor. How many of you work on farms? Do any of you work on a farm? Any of you work on farms? So none of you guys are reaping seed and fruit and things like that, right? So your seed contemporarily is your money. Amen? That's what you work for. That's what you're paid. Right? So we gather weekly. They gathered yearly. So they had to literally carry barrels full of stuff to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, this is all I work for all year. We have the privileges coming week after week. Say, okay, Lord, here. Now watch this. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, which is the house of God. The tithe of your grain, the 10%, and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God. Now, one of the main reasons why God instilled tithing as a system in the harvest of the people was so that they will learn to fear God or honor him. That's actually one of the main reasons why we tithe. It keeps us at a place where we honor the Lord. That no matter how much we gain increase, we remember that the first 10% of what we get belongs to God. It's something that it reminds you every single week you get paid, every other week you get paid, that, Lord, if it was not for you, I wouldn't be able to have this. You remember the Lord every time you tithe. Come on. That's why the Bible says it's his. Because if he didn't give you the breath that you're breathing, if he didn't give you the body that you have to work, you wouldn't be able to do it. Amen? So he's giving you everything you need to produce fruit, to gain, to get power, to get wealth. And so as a result of that, all I'm asking you, the Lord says, is to give me back 10% of that. I think that's reasonable. Right? 10%. Somebody say 10%. All right? Now, look at what the next verse says. Connect with what I just said. The next verse. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, verse 25, then you shall exchange it for money. So that goes back to what I just said. They had to carry a year long worth of tithe to the temple. And he says to them, if it's too far, let's say you live too far to carry, or you got a real big harvest and you're trying to carry all this. He said, instead of carrying all of that stuff, you can exchange it for money. So today, once again, we're not reaping from a farm or agriculture somewhere, but what we do have, which is money, it's already exchanged for us. We bring that to the Lord. Amen? Somebody say, good money. And go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. So we're gathered at Hungry for God Church, and you're here today because you believe that this is the place where the Lord your God chose you, called you to gather to worship his name. And because of that, the Lord says, this is the place you bring your tithe. Amen? Now, Let's keep reading, verse 26. Oh, snap. I'll read it. Verse 26. And you shall bestow that money for whatever your soul desires, for ox or for sheep or for wine, for strong drink, for whatever your soul desires, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. Okay? So it's a celebration. It's a time where we remember the Lord every single time we get to give him something that he gave us. Hallelujah. And we honor him with that. Now, why 10? Why 10? Why not 20 or 30, 50 or 60? You know, in the scriptures, the number 10 is always represented by the number of testing. The number of testing. There were 10 commands given, major commands given to the Israelites to keep. There were 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt against Pharaoh. Do you remember the 10 lepers that got healed? And one came back to thank the Lord, and Jesus tested them to see who was going to be grateful to come back. How about the 10 virgins, the 5 who had oil in their lamp and the 5 who didn't? They were all tested to see who will be prepared. 10 represents testing in Scripture. So this is why he attached testing to this principle of tithing. Prove me, test me to see if you will be faithful, if you will be grateful, if you will honor me in that which I've given you. And another thing you want to know about this system of tithing, what I love about it is the fact that it requires two major characteristics that we need in our lives in order to create wealth. Faithfulness and diligence. These are two characteristics. If you read Proverbs, you'll see about 6 scriptures where it talks about how diligence is connected to wealth. Right? How about, there's a scripture, for example, in Proverbs chapter 21, for example, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, to prosperity, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Or Proverbs 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Then you have Proverbs 12, verse 27. Proverbs 21, verse 25, I'm not going to read them, but all these verses talk about how there's wealth connected to being diligent, working hard. Now, it requires you to be diligent every week to remember to give your tithes to the Lord. And it's a practice that if you develop an attitude of practicing to give God just 10%, the Bible says if you can be faithful over little, then I can make you steward over much. 10% is little. God says, if you can be faithful over 10%, then I can make you faithful over more than that. Glory to God. See, God never gave us a number. He didn't say, you need to give this amount, or, this is not enough. $5 is not enough. $20 is not enough. It doesn't matter. It's whatever you have and whatever you can give from what you have. It's what I love about God. He never asks us to do what we can't do. Hallelujah. He never asks us to go beyond what our means. You have been given a grace, and within that grace, just give from that grace. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry about where you are financially. You can simply work. One simple principle, and the Lord wanted me to ensure some of you, that sometimes when it talks about money, it can seem so overwhelmed. Some of you may feel like, I don't really know too much about investing. I don't know too much about all this other stuff. But all you need to do is simply work one principle and get that one principle under your belt. And that'll be enough for the Lord to say, he's diligent. I'm going to bless him or her with more. Amen? You can just take this one principle and begin to work it. Be faithful over it. Be diligent with it. And the Lord says, if you're faithful and diligent, I will increase it. I will give you more. Amen. How many people want the Lord to see that they're faithful to handle more? Amen. We can be diligent with the 10% that we have to give him. Amen. Now let's hurry up. Let me give you another verse. Let's go back to Malachi 3. I'm almost done. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 10, Malachi 3. Somebody say Malachi. Malachi 3, let's read 9. Well, let me go back. Let's read 7 through 10. Even from the days, verse 7, you have it, say amen. Even from the days of your fathers, you are, let me go to 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. So some people wonder, well, you know, we're under the New Testament. Do I still need to tithe? I am the Lord, I don't change. So he gave us this principle in the Old Testament. If I have more time, I'll show you in the New Testament where it is as well. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are not gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Or how do we return to the Lord? Then the Lord gives them an answer that doesn't really seem like an answer to what they just asked. How do I return to the Lord? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So the people that the Malachi prophesied to turned away from the Lord because they turned away from the giving of tithes and offering. If you read chapters 1 and 2, you see how this built up. But that was how they went astray from God. So God says, don't come to me with your lips and talk about how much you love me or honor me, but you are not bringing the tithes to the storehouse. And I talked about the fact that God says, would you rob me? He's not talking about literally you're robbing God from something that he does not have. He's saying you're robbing me of the joy and the delight I have in prospering you. You're robbing me of the opportunity to increase you and to fulfill my covenant, my promise over you to bless you. I promised to bless you. I promise to keep you. I promise to open up the heavens over you. But if you don't bring the tithes and the offering, if you don't leave what's in your hand, then I can't leave what's in my hands to you. Come on. So the Lord says, if you want to cooperate with me and get into this flow, I need you to do something. You need to release something. You need to release something to me so that I can release something to you. Hallelujah. So he says, this principle of tithes and offering, I'm going to release to you. The Bible says in verse 10, bring ye the tithes. Bring it into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, food in my house. Somebody say food in my house. And prove me now, says the Lord, and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Not only will there not be enough room to receive what God will pour into your life, verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time, says the Lord, and all nations shall call you blessed. People will see you and call you blessed. That means that when the Lord opens up heaven, I'm not talking about something that's just spiritual and mystical. There is going to be something tangible and noticeable over your life that people will literally see visibly you are blessed. Come on. So I know we say, I'm blessed in the spirit. No, God wants you to be blessed in the natural too. Hallelujah. Something tangible. Amen. God wants to see you fruitful. He wants others to see you fruitful. And the Bible says that when you are blessed, people will see you. You know the word blessed in the scripture actually means to be envied. That when you are blessed, people will see you and literally envy you. And the reason why they envy you is because they want to know, what is it that you're doing? What's your success secret? What are you working with? What is it that you got? And you can point to them and talk about the favor of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God, and that will lead others to Christ. Come on. So God wants you so blessed, your neighbors will envy you. People, so it's okay to have haters that time. But you got to understand how to use that and leverage that to point them to the Lord. Amen? So you got to learn to become unapologetic about your blessings. Come on. You can't be shy about what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to shine like a city on a hill. He wants you to be the light of the world. He wants favor to be on you so much so that people envy you. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Let me give you this last verse. Now, how do we tithe? How do we actually tithe? I'll show you this and I'm done. Deuteronomy chapter 26. See, I want you to know that this is biblical. I want you to know this is biblical. Deuteronomy 26. Thank you, Lord. Let's jump to verse. I said 26. All right, verse 1. And it shall be when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and you possess it and you dwell there, that you should take of the first. Somebody say the first. The first of all the fruit of the earth, which you shall bring to the land that your Lord God has given you, and you shall put it in a what? In a basket. So this is the reason why we have baskets, not suitcases. And shall go unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there. Is the Lord's name on Hungry for God? Absolutely. And you shall go to the priest or the pastor that shall be in those days and say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord your God that I am coming to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers for us to give us. Now let's stop. In other words, when they were commanded to give a tithe, they were to attach a declaration. You see, they were to actually confess something as they gave their tithe. So that's why we do the declarations before our tithes and offering. It's not to be cool. All right, it's something that the Lord actually put in place, that when you give a tithe, attach a confession or declaration. Not only are you supposed to confess, for the sake of time, he goes on and he talks about what the Lord has done. They talk about how the Lord brought them from Egypt and brought them to this place, and he did all these signs and wonders for them. And so when we jump all the way down to verse 9, the Bible says, and he has brought us into this place and has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. Amen. Now, when the Lord brings you into this new place, you should expect milk and honey. Milk means the necessity that you need, the things you need, the necessity, and honey represents the luxury. You should expect necessity and luxury when you give to the Lord. That's the land of milk and honey. And then he tells us in verse 10, and now, behold, I have brought the fruits, the first fruits. I brought my tithe, which you, O Lord, has given me, and shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. Your tithe is an act of worship to God. It's a part of the worship. Just like your praise and your singing and your dancing, what you bring to God is also an act of worship. And then he tells us in verse 11, and you shall rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. Get excited, get delighted, dance, celebrate in every good thing which the Lord your God has given unto you and to your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. So not only can the church rejoice in tithing, even strangers, even unbelievers, if they work this principle of tithing, they can also get in on it. So that's why the world can tithe and they see blessings from it. Because it was for the whole world. Hallelujah. So even if strangers who don't believe come into our midst and say, I want to tithe too, you can receive blessing from it. Amen. And as I close, and when you made an end of tithing, all the tithes of your increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and has given it unto the Levite, the pastor, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, that you may eat within your gates and be filled. Next week, I'm going to talk about the four different ways God wants us to give, because tithing is just one of it, and I have time to go through the rest. But he also talks about giving to the fatherless, the widow, being able to give also to help those in need. All these things are biblical principles in the Old and New Testament, that if you do these things, you ensure the open heaven guarantees over your life. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate his name. Hallelujah. Thank you.